On to Kokkie Kooiman, portfolio manager, Denker Capital. And the Reserve Bank warning today that government is at risk of getting to severe debt distress, and that could have very serious implications for the broader economy. And most notably, and I suppose first, Kokkie Kooiman, the area where you like to focus, and that is the commercial banks, because there is this sort of, I suppose, this intertwined relationship, isn't there?
Yeah, no, there is. I mean, if we just stand back for a second, I mean, what has been happening is that our debt levels have grown dramatically. And if you go back to 2011-12, our debt to GDP was still 30%. It's now closer to 80%. So you can see how fast our debt levels have been growing. And if it continues at the trajectory that one sees, you're going to get to 120-130% very soon. And the result of that is that our interest bill as a percentage of total expenditure is now already 28%. But not only will the interest rate that creditors charge us or lenders charge us go up, but also that percentage as a percentage of total expenditure will increase. So just think of your own household. If you earn 100,000, but 50,000 of that goes to paying interest, you know, you have increasingly less to live off. So what does that lead to? That leads to a very low growth rate because we haven't got a lot of options to stimulate the economy. And because our interest rate is so high, the banks and insurers are investing surplus capital, and I think increasingly just not only surplus capital, into government bonds because the yield is very good. It is lower risk than lending out to the public, and you get what is called crowding out of the private sector. So the article today actually is worried, obviously, that as we go into a debt distress, it drags down our banking and insurance sector with it. Now, a lot of people are questioning, do we go into debt default? And the likelihood of that is small because most of our debt is locally funded. And quite correct, the funders of that, a lot of it is pension funds, insurers, and banks. So I don't think we'll go into a debt default, but you will have eventually the Reserve Bank printing more money, whether they like it or not, which leads to higher inflation.
No, absolutely. And I mean, this is a cycle that sort of runs the risk of playing itself out over the next 4 or 5 years, or is it quicker than that?
Yep. So the problem is that you're in a low growth, high inflation, high interest rate environment is not where banks want to be. So indeed, it's not good for banks, although their interest margins will actually increase because they're actually getting quite good yields, but you've got no growth and you're, and the Reserve Bank, obviously, their point is that you will get increasing bad debts. But again, the bad debts and the policy lapses of the insurers are unfortunately in the lower end of the market, the people who earn little earn very little. And so while the numbers who get into distress increase in rand value as a percentage of the banking system or the insurance system, they are very small. So it is a problem when a large part of the population can't pay their debts or have to lapse the policies, but the banking system, it won't affect them that much, unless obviously this keeps escalating.
Yeah, I mean, so far, so good. I mean, we had the horrible downgrades that came through on Friday night, and that was deeply uncomfortable, of course, over the weekend. And since the weekend, we've actually seen the bond rate improve. We've seen the rand strengthen, and we've seen share markets continue to go up. It's been quite unsettling almost because it doesn't feel natural.
Yeah, and that's partly driven by foreign investors in that, you know, with the vaccine being found and a Biden government who will be much more predictable, suddenly it's sort of risk on. You know, suddenly growth that we're going to see in the world looks better. And so suddenly investors are looking for areas that have better risk and or better yield. And then South Africa does stand out. And for the short term, they're forgetting the risks. And the risk is obviously if we don't do something, as Tito Mboweni increasingly in his frustration points out, if we don't curb our salary and wage bill and we don't get rid of unnecessary or excess debt, then suddenly investors, foreign investors, will wake up again like I often do in the past and say, this is not sustainable, and they'll pull the money just as quickly, and then the rand will go down quite quickly.
And that's the argument, I suppose, that when you have these sorts of conversations with trade unions, they say, well, how dare you suggest government cut public sector wages? How dare you suggest government cut headcount? Because all you're doing is exacerbating the problem. You're putting more people into the bread queues. You're making more people unemployed. And in the short term, absolutely, there is immediate personal consequence for those who are laid off. But the bigger long-term consequence of failing to contain government spending is that everybody will feel the pain eventually.
Exactly. So essentially what you get the whole economy dragged down, not only the government employees, because in the end, like in Zimbabwe and Venezuela and in Argentina, the government won't be able to pay the wages. So everybody becomes poor. But the argument is also very short-sighted. And those people... Well, actually, you do the country a favor by actually cutting the jobs of people who are not being productive in the economy, because you force them to go and find other jobs, and they will, if the government allows the private sector to get on with creating jobs. And there are lots of examples globally where that has happened. So you get a shift, and sure, initially there's pain, but those people will find other jobs as the economy grows. But that's obvious when you're a labor union, you're fighting for specific employees that pay your dues, then you fight for them and you don't worry about what happens to them afterwards in the wider economy. But the argument is not true. I think if the government frees up the economy, cuts the wages of civil servants in terms of total, the economy will grow fast and you create other jobs.
Agreed. Kokkie Kooiman, thank you. Portfolio manager at Denker Capital.